Help us to have open ears, Lord, and open eyes for you and you alone. If you told us, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the power of your mercy and grace. We thank you, Jesus, for that power. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We give this morning to you in your precious and mighty name. Amen.
Try that again. Good morning. All right. Welcome to Potter's Hands. We're here to worship Jesus, and we're just here to remind each other of the truth that Jesus is alive. Amen? He is risen from the dead. He is not dead. He's alive. And since that's true, not if it's true, but since that's true, we should be acting like people who are alive because he lives inside of us. Amen? Yeah, so let's give a big hand. Let's make this sound like something that we really mean. Woohoo! Okay. Welcome. I know you. Maybe you're here for the first time. You think these people are a little bit crazy, and you wouldn't be a little bit wrong. They're carrying macaroni boxes, and they're shaking them, and eventually you might be one of the people up here shaking one of those boxes. And the whole point behind that is just Jason's laughing. He's going, that ain't never going to happen. We can do lots of different ways. There are lots of different ways that we can praise God. There's different things that we can do. And worship is a real personal thing. So you worship God in your own personal way and with the gifts that he's given you. And that can be making noise, you know, just by clapping your hands or just by singing. Or maybe you're just quiet and you're just worshiping God. And all of that is okay. And I think that the important thing is that there's just no pressure. You know, it's like someone saying, well, we all got to raise our hands. We don't all got to raise our hands. If you want to raise your hands, raise your hands. If there's real worship, if there's real freedom in worship, then there's freedom not to do, just as there's freedom to do. Just do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Amen? I know that there's a lot of us that have been going through some struggles, and there's always an attack by the enemy. And we just take authority over that today. It's one of the reasons we get together is just to remind ourselves that the authority has been given to us. Jesus said all authority has been given to you. You know, before you go out into the world, you take that authority. And we take authority right now even over the enemy because he's been warring against us. He's been causing us to get down sometimes, or we've been accused. In Revelation, it says that he is the accuser of the brethren. And maybe you've been going through some of that this week too. You feel like you're under the accusation. He tries to put us under some kind of an indictment. He says that we're not worth anything. You're never going to amount to much, or if anything at all. Why did you do that? Did you hear him say that this week at all? Why did you do that? Why did you lose your temper? Why did you say that? All those kind of things come from the enemy. And so we're going to pray as we start here this morning. And just so you know where I'm going with this before Pauline comes up to preach, we're going to spend a little time just encouraging each other today and maybe even ministering to each other. I know that sometimes people come to church and they go, I just want to come. I just want to sit there. I don't want to, don't make me do anything. No one's making you do anything, so you can sit. Please feel free to sit. But maybe in a few minutes, there's someone here you just want to encourage. Maybe there's someone that you've been praying for and you want to walk up to them and say, you know what? I've been praying for you because I know what you've been struggling with. And my prayers continue. Maybe someone just needs a hug. Or maybe you need to come up to someone and say, you know, I've been asking God, and he taught me something, and I think he just wants me to share this with you. And it's only a short thing, but I just want to share this thing. Or maybe there's a prayer. Some of you have had prayers that have been answered recently. And you just want to share that with someone, and you just want to come up to someone and say, let me tell you something, Pam. I prayed about this. I just got to get this out. God has answered my prayer. He did that. Yeah, you know what? That happened to me this morning. I got a phone call. I'm not going to get into all the details, but I got a phone call about 9 o'clock about something I've been praying for months. And I said, Lord, this is going to be confirmation. If I get a phone call, if I get this phone call, or if this works out, then I'm just going to take this as confirmation. This shows me that you're real and that you're listening to me. And I got that phone. And I'm not ready to tell you. It's exciting. I'm not ready to tell you until the Lord gives me that permission to say what this is really all about. But just to say, this is an exciting thing. And I've been praying for this and waiting for this. So I guess I've already done exactly what I'm trying to get you to do in a few minutes. Share these things. Talk to someone. Give someone a hug. Shake their hands and say, you know what, Teresa? God really loves you. He really loves you. And that's what we're going to do. Just, I know it might seem like weird, but we're just not a church where we just sit around. We're gonna actually be church. Here's another one. About a month ago, Ralph was sitting right about where Linda's sitting. And Ralph was in the hospice. He's dying, or was dying at that time, of cancer. He's got a big hole in his esophagus. And they brought him to the hospice. He'd already been there for a little while. And we prayed for him. I prayed for him. Ted prayed for him and a few others. We gathered around him. And I went to visit him this week in the hospice, and he wasn't there anymore. And that's because they said he was too good to be in the hospice. So, yeah. So thank you, Lord, right? Thank you, Jesus. He is, you know, they would say he's still dying, and he may be. This is all in God's hands. But all I'm saying is, praise God. You know, we stand around someone, and we pray for him, and there's already a miracle taking place. He's not in the hospice. I don't think I can remember, and I visited dozens of people in the hospice. I can't remember anybody. You know, usually it's one of those places you get into, and that's sort of the last place you live. I don't remember anyone getting out of the hospice, and Ralph is out of the hospice, so thank God for that. Amen? So here's the thing. In Revelation 12, it says that we overcome the enemy. He comes as a dragon. He's in this form of a dragon. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Those are the two things. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, the blood of the Lamb, that's something that only Jesus could do. It's all about Jesus. It's that he died on the cross. It's done. The blood of the Lamb destroys the enemy. But the word of our testimony is something that we do. Right, Terry? We share our testimony. We say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is alive. He's answering my prayers. Listen to what he's teaching me. You know, all those kind of things. That is the word of our testimony. And what we don't always understand is there is unbelievable power in what comes out of our lips. I mean, the opposite is also true. Sometimes nothing but curses come out of our lips. We even say it about ourselves. I'm always going to be addicted. I'm always going to be this guy in the streets. That's not true. Stop talking that way and start talking with hope and with life, because with Jesus Christ, there's always hope and life. So it says in the Bible that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And the reason for that is because the blood of the Lamb, you see, the enemy, he knows that he's already defeated by the blood of the Lamb. But when we confess it, he knows that we know, all right? That's why we got to do it. He knows when we say, Jesus is Lord, and we say, Satan, you will have no place here. You will have no position in my life. I will not allow those curses to flow from my mouth. You will not have any leverage here. Then he knows that I know that he's defeated. Amen? Now you can clap. Everyone, come on. Woo-hoo! Yeah. We're not too good at the hoo-hoos yet, so when you get really going, you can clap and go, hoo-hoo, hallelujah, amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to do this. So God, you are sovereign God. You are Jesus' Redeemer. You have paid for our sin, and you set us free. And Lord, there are a few people here today, I can just see it in their eyes, they're not sure they can even believe this. So we ask you to make that clear. We're not selling anything. This is not for sale. This is by grace. It's a gift that you give us. So for those who are doubting this right now, I pray that you will just open their hearts so that they see how true this is. It's not my truth. This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray that you will show us today that you are reigning in this place and you're reigning in our lives, and that wherever we have Jesus, we have great hope. And so right now we join together our faith, and we take authority over the enemy. He has no place here. He can't whisper in this place. He can't beat us up again. He can't accuse us again. And that as we stand up and as we walk around and as we encourage each other, as we pray for one another, as we speak life into each other, we drive him out in the name of Jesus. Because you're the one who said that we will have this authority. And you're the one, Jesus, who said that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So we bind the strong man. We bind this enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all agree and say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you want to stay seated, stay seated. But it's time to stand up. And, you know, maybe, just 1 second before you do, maybe there's someone you've been meaning to talk to. And you go, I just got to encourage that person and say, you know what? You are doing a great work. And I told you before, you got a pastor's heart. You know, that kind of thing. You have a heart for people. You're helping people. Someone that's on your heart, someone you've been praying for, go find that person. Pray for them. Encourage them. Let's just be the body of Christ. So if you want to stay seated, you can. But now's the time that maybe, Chad, if you got some music you can just play in the background. We're going to do this for about 10, maybe 15 minutes, depending on how this all goes. So it's time for us to just care for each other. Considered me a
slain is on the throne, and so I.
Thank you. All right. I think that everyone's pretty much sitting down. So hopefully somewhere along the line you got encouraged, or maybe somebody had a word, or just a little picture. I know that in my life, I know when I'm getting healthier spiritually is when I start to dream again. And I am starting to dream again. So I don't mean when I'm sleeping. But I mean, you just start to have visions, you know, you start to have some hope, you start to think, hey, what if God wants to do this? Or maybe God starts to plant little things in my heart, and I'm excited about that. Again, that's a whole other thing, so I'm not going to get into it, but Tola, come on up here. This is a brother who I believe has a real gift of prayer, and I just ask him to close this time by praying for you. So receive this. This is a gift. Just receive it.
Amen. You won't leave here as you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, seek our needs. For the Holy Ghost of God is still the same. You won't leave here as you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here as you came in Jesus' name. God of heaven, God of the earth, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages, the bright and the morning star. You are the rose of Sharon. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the maker of heaven and earth, the ruler of heaven and earth, the one who is able to do more than we can think or imagine. Father, we are gathered together in your name, O God. We have come unto Mount Zion, where the Bible says there shall be deliverance and holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You are all we have, O God. In you we live, in you we breathe, in you we have all our beings, in you we have our hopes. In you we trust, O God, because you know you are maker. And you have said in your word, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we are unto you, O God. We are here, O God. We are here, O God. It's not by our righteousness. It's not by our holiness. It's not by the work of our hands, O God. But Father, we have come unto thy throne of grace through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of Jesus, through the grace of God. Father, that is why we're here, O God. And we pray, O God of righteousness, we pray, O God, that you would look at that blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. You will look at that pains that he went through, O God. You will look at everything he has done on behalf of us, O God. And Father, you will arise, O Lord. You will stretch forth your hands of deliverance. And you will deliver us, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, in heaven for every soul here today, O God. You know our hearts. Before we ask, Father, you said you have heard. And while we are asking, Father, you said you have answered. Lord, we pray that you touch us today, O God. Every pain, every grief, every sorrow, every oppression, every depression, every hope lost, everything, oh God, that our strength is fading away from, oh God. Father, we pray that you help us. You will lift us up, oh God. You will strengthen us, oh God. You will empower us, oh God. You will breathe on us a new breath of life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You will cause us to arise again, oh God, unto righteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, whoever is here, oh God, that is looking unto you for something, Lord, that great thing they are asking for, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will meet the person at the point of your needs, at the point of our needs, in the name of Jesus. Whoever is praying for strength to overcome, Father, we pray, oh God, for your strength. That you will give us the strength to overcome in the name of Jesus. Whoever is looking unto you, oh God, for healing. Father, we pray, oh God, that your anointing that breaks every yoke, oh God, will fall upon that person in the name of Jesus. Whoever is looking unto you for deliverance, oh God. Father, we pray, oh Lord, that your word will break through that person, oh God. And the person will be delivered, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Whoever is praying for your guardians, oh God. Let the heavens be open. In the name of Jesus. Do you know that song? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we'll sing hallelujah to the King of Kings, Lord. We'll sing hallelujah to you, Lord. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Oh, yes, Lord, we bless you. We bless you, King of Kings. We bless you, Lord of Lords, Lord. You're so awesome, Lord. Yes, we bless you, Lord. Lord, we bless you. Yes, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Yes, we bless you. Take all the glory. Take all glory. Take all glory. Yes, Lord. Take all the glory, Lord. Take all glory. Take all glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Take all glory, Lord.
Take all glory. Take all the glory. Take all the glory. All the glory. One more time, just hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Tola. And Paulin, you want to come up? This is good. This is good. Brother Paulin's going to bring the word. We say this often that it's really a pivotal part of our worship. We need to hear God. We need to hear his word. He speaks through someone who's been gifted, like Paulin has been gifted. And God's word is truth. So we listen to this carefully today. You're going to come up front there.
Praise the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I cannot imagine that people do not want to be in the house of the Lord. David says, I want to live all the days of my life so that I may enjoy the beauty of the Lord in his house. One of the beauties of the Lord in his house is that when you hear the word preached to you, your faith will be activated. There is something in the speaking of the word for the power of God to come down. So never be bashful to speak the word in your life, because words speaking or spoken in faith has power. And today, my dear brothers and sisters, we'll read from the book of Psalm. Pastor Sun said last Sunday, he loves reading from the book of Psalms, and I do too. So we'll read chapter 92 from the book of Psalms. In the Old Testament, maybe if it is put on the screen, we will read that in unison. Praise the Lord. There are only 15 verses in this chapter, so it's not long. So let's do that. 1, 2, 3. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound your thoughts! The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evil doers flourish, they'll be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish in the courts of our God. They'll still bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Wonderful. In fact, this psalm in the Jewish system of service, this was read during the Sabbath day. Then you might ask, why don't we go to church on the Sabbath day on Saturday? Well, the answer is, we have a new day after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which is on Sunday. That's why we gather, very much like the people in Acts, they gather also during Sunday, celebrating the victory of Jesus over death. We gather here this Sunday. So this psalm is asking us to give thanksgiving to the Lord. Don't you know that God deserves our thanks? And don't you know that should be done every day, not just like Thanksgiving done once a year? I know nationally we celebrate Thanksgiving, but from a believer point of view, Thanksgiving should be done every day. It's not occasional, but it should be like a continual outflow from the heart of the believer. We thank God for many reasons. We thank God because He has created us. And He has given His Spirit to lead us on the way to eternity, to eternal life, I mean. He preserves our life every day. He blesses us on a daily basis. He has redeemed us by the sacrifice of His Son who died on the cross for us by shedding His blood. And He has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us on every step of the way so that we can be nearer and nearer to God. Even in times of difficulties, times of trials and sorrow, He sustains us. There are so many reasons that we do not stop thanking God. Giving thanks to God is a pleasant thing, the psalmist says, right? It's a good thing, it is a pleasant thing. Because you know, if you give thanks, that will rid you of your persistent tormentor. You know, there is a tormentor living inside of you, which is yourself. So the antidote to get rid of that tormentor, not a mentor, to be a good thing if he's a mentor, but he's a tormentor. So get rid of that. How? By giving thanks to God incessantly. I mean continually. In this psalm, we see about thanking God and praising God. It's a beautiful music, the combination of these two. Thanking God and praising God. And let's be aware that even in nature, the music in nature is singing praises. That's the music of nature. If you read the Bible in the book of Job, in the book of Isaiah, even the mountains and the valleys and the birds, they sing, my brothers. They sing, my sisters. Singing is also is the music of the saints. All of you here are saints, even though we are still in the making. We are still not finished products, but you are saints as called by God. So singing is the music of saints, singing is the music of angels. And remember, singing is the music in heaven. Let me quote to you from Psalm 136, verses 1 until 3. It says there, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." I love that verse. His mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all time. What's the meaning of at all time? That means irregardless of whatever your circumstance you are at, irregardless of what might be happening to your life today, and irregardless of what might happen or befall you tomorrow, that means that we need to continue giving thanks to the Lord. Many people give thanks to the Lord if they're in good time, if they're on top of the world, so to speak. But not so about Paul and Silas. They are thrown into the prison. They are doing God's work. They are doing the ministry for the world. But still, they are thrown into the prison. They have every right to complain and to be sour, to be bitter. But they have a choice. They made a deliberate choice in a situation like that. They say, Paul and Silas, they encourage one another, let's thank the Lord and let's lift up praises unto the Lord. Right at the prison cell, they are doing that. Meaning to say, they have a positive attitude. And remember, having a thankful spirit or a thankful heart will create a positive attitude in you and in me. And positive attitude will change the atmosphere. That will change the situation. And the Holy Spirit will be present. So that's the link, one after another. And you know, when we know what happens in the prison cells, right? When Paul and Silas are there, the chains fall off, the Bible says. Miracles are taking place. People get saved. Even the jailer gets saved that night. In other words, the prison changes into a cathedral. Or I should say, the prison changes into a place like Paul's hands where people get blessed and get saved. So we'll continue to praise the Lord all the days of our life, my brothers and sisters. Yes, the Bible says it's good. If you want to understand the word good, because in our day today, the meaning of the word good is very much like so blurred. But in the Hebrew understanding, Hebrew word, good means pure, good means magnificent, good means surpassing. So it is surpassing, it is pure, it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. We live in this world. One of the ways we can show our faith to other people is by being thankful, because a thankful heart exhibits religion in a beautiful form, in a beautiful way to others. You might ask me, why do we have to thank God? Well, we have to thank God because it is pleasing to God. Well, if it is pleasing to God, by thanking Him, will it make Him better, or will it make Him like more happier? No. No. God is God. Even if you don't thank Him, even if you don't praise Him, He is still God. But the Bible says, whoever offers God thanks and praise, He, you and I, glorify God. And that is the purpose of our existence, the purpose of our being. We are here on this planet to glorify God, not just to take up space, not just to consume things provided by God in this world. So as I said, this Psalm chapter 92 is a psalm read during the temple service when the people of Israel returned from the exile, from captivity, I should say. My dear brothers and sisters, thankfulness is the best antidote to the evils of life. And it will lighten life's burden. No wonder the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we need to continue to be in prayer and also to give thanks to God because of what? Because the Bible says that is the will of God. Not your own will. That is the will of God for you. And talking about the problems in this life, there is no one who is exempted from burden or problems in life. Job says that man is born to trouble, right? As the sparks fly upward. So even though you see people as if they didn't have any problem, they do have problems. The only difference is you as believers, you know what to do if you have problems, that there is a carrier of your problem. Just like in the prayer of Brother Tola, he invites us to come to the Lord, to roll down, to give our problems, our burdens to him. You don't have to carry them anymore. Thankfulness quickens your spiritual perception. So if you continue to learn and giving thanks to God, your spiritual perception will be sharper day by day. And also, it will enlarge your spiritual capacity to see and to understand and to appreciate the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of our Lord. You will come to understand more and more as you continue to be thankful all through the days of your life that God is a good friend, that God is a good God, and He is a good Father to you. Thankfulness will foster also confidence and love in your heart. So we need to make it our morning as a morning routine, or I should say as a morning habit, to give thanks to God, and also in the evening, just like we have read in the Psalm, chapter 92, in the morning and in the evening. Just before the world rises, it's a good thing for believers to wake up, and the first thing you should do in the morning is thanking God, praising God for all of His blessing, for all of His grace that He has showered upon your life. Do you know the original design of creation as done by God? Job 38, verse 7, it says there, even the morning stars mean those angelic beings, the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. That is the original design of creation done by God. So those that God created are meant to lift up thanks and praises to their maker, to God, to Yahweh. Thankfulness and giving praise to the Lord, that is the highest. Let me repeat that word again. That is the highest expressions of human service. Appreciating the blessing of God, recognizing the source of that blessing, and also recognizing the values of the blessings that you have received in your life. And in return, it's a way of showing that you acknowledge your own indebtedness to the giver of all those goodness and blessings in your life. So if you see that as a relationship, which is a relationship, you are reciprocating your communication and your relationship with God. So it is no longer just one way, but it is a reciprocal way in your relationship between you and God. Thanking God and giving praises to God will impart joy in the heart of your Father. In verses 4 until 6, we read that the righteous people are delighting or triumphing in the works of God. You understand? Triumphing or delighting in the works of God, in the works of His hands. Let me tell you a little bit about the Hebrew prophets or the Hebrew psalmist, or psalmist. When their souls were in the most exalted and inspired state, they saw God in everything. They saw God in the universe. They saw God in the blowing of the wind. They saw God in the events of history. They saw in all the incidents of man's experience, God. And to them, they were all and everywhere the works of God. So my point is, we as believers should not be afraid of science. And we should not denounce science as the enemy of our faith and our piety in following God. I personally believe that God has sent you and me into this beautiful creation of God, this world, not blindfolded, but He has sent us into this world with open eyes to see the beauty of God's creations. That's why the psalmist said, I'm delighting myself, I'm triumphing myself in the works of thy hands. There's no reason to be sour, my dear brother. There's no reason to be depressed. If you only open your eyes and see God's creation, see the works of God's hands everywhere, it is so bountiful and so penny with the sign of His love and His care for you and for me. You know, and I, we both know that in Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of His hands. So let us not close our spiritual ears. And I pray that we might listen to the voice sent by God, even including through the creation, through the things that we see in this world. But most importantly, God speaks through His Word. Amen? In the book of Hebrews, as compared to the way God communicated to His people in the olden time, in the Old Testament, in the book of Hebrews, God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word, which has become man and living in us. So the works of the Lord, or His divine workmanship, is His creation. His work is also His grace that has been extended to you and to me. The providence that we see in this life. And let's not forget that line that says that we as believers are made glad by the works of God. What is that work? That He has redeemed us from our sin. He has comforted us. And He has reinstated us. You are being put back. We are put back into our original initial position as the sons and daughters of the living God. My Father is the creator of the universe, so is yours. Amen. Those privileges, remember, was once lost because of our disobedience, because of our own sin. But as I said a second ago, we are being reinstated back to our privileges through the works of the Lord on the cross, who died for us. So this gladness that we spoke about in this psalm, it is a divine gladness. Meaning to say, it is a gladness of faith, and it is a gladness of hope. As in Titus, in the book of Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, we wait for the blessed hope. I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We might be at the door. I'm not setting any date. I'm not a date setter. But He's coming. He's getting nearer and nearer every day. As we see all the signs taking place in the world now, that will testify to us that our redemption is getting nearer and nearer every day. Yes, we wait for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though you are very much blessed in this lifetime, remember, there is something much, much better which is awaiting you, which has been prepared at the mansion above by the works of the Lord. So we need to continue to marvel and to admire God's great works in our life, in creation and also in us, which is our own salvation. Verse 5 says, the psalmist expresses his thought here about the depth, or how deep are the thoughts of God. That's in verse 5. Let's dwell a little bit on this verse. The thoughts of the Lord, the thoughts of God. Just imagine that all that have ever been, all that have gone, all those come out from the thoughts of God. And all that are right now and all that will be tomorrow or after tomorrow, those also come out from the thoughts of God. I'm not an astronomer, but I read a little bit about this galaxy, the creation, the skies, and the myriads of creatures, the worlds, not only one word, the worlds and the systems. Wow, it's so amazing how vast the universe and many, many, many worlds that we do not discover yet. All of them come from the thought of God. But the most wonderful thought of God is to take you back from the miry sin, from the mud, and cleanse you. When he sent his son to die on the cross by shedding his blood, and then you are being cleansed and clean, and he takes you back as his daughters and as his sons. That is so amazing to me, talking about the grace of God. One time my second boy sent me a text, and he quoted a verse. He talked a little bit about his life. And I was crying because in that text, he was expressing also his admiration about the grace of God. And I said in my spirit, thank you, God, for sowing the truth, for sowing your grace to the spirit of my son. Oh, it is a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, seeing the grace of God and the mercy of God. All of those things come from the thoughts of God. The Bible says, even before the foundation of the world was laid, you and me have been in the mind, in the thoughts of God. We are in the thoughts of God that we would be recreated again, reinstated into our position, and put back into our right position. And verse 6 says, it talks about the degradation of man. And we can see the difference here between the life of animals as opposed to the spiritual life of the follower of Jesus or of God, of the righteous man, I should say. Let's see this contrast a little bit. The life of animal cleaves or clings to the earth, wallowing in the dust. Whereas the righteous person, a believer, a person who seeks the face of God, he wants to exalt God, he wants to praise God, and he wants to receive the mind of God. He wants to see the vision of God. And he wants to appreciate the works of God. The animal life has no ambition to lift the sky or the roof which is above his head, where he is in. Whereas the righteous person, he wants to soar or fly up higher in the spirit, very much like an eagle. I don't know if you understand or if you agree with me, but it is in the Bible, though, that man's nature, my nature, is very closely allied or related to the nature of animal without, listen closely, without the Spirit of God living in me. I know this is a hard thing to say, but that's what the Bible says. if we can read from the Bible, maybe we can read it on the screen. From the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 19 until 21. We'll read those verses together from the screen. Basically, it says that the breath is taken out, and then the fate of either person, a person or man or animal, that's the same. So let's read. 1, 2, 3. Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust. And to dust all return. Who knows if the spirit of man guides upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? The tone of these verses are very somber. I don't like them. Personally speaking, I rejoice in the Lord. My faith is not the same as the faith of those animals after I'm recreated in the image of Jesus and after I receive the spirit of life in me from him. That will make the difference, my dear brothers and sisters. That will make the difference. So what makes you superior as compared to the animals? It is only because God has chosen you to be the place of his residence. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, sin has brought this degradation of man to the level of animal. Very sad. When man is ruled by appetite, just like the animal, and not by God-awakened conscience, he is on the same level with animal. God never intended man to be ruled by his appetite, even though it is God who created that appetite in him. What God intends is that under the control of the Holy Spirit, our appetite, our God's given reasoning, our conscience, and our principles should be all used so that we can walk a godly life, so that we can be called righteous people for the Lord. So if I just live to eat, if I just live to drink and do not worship the Lord, my Maker, and no adoration, no gratitude, I have become, as the Bible says, even in this chapter, the other translation says, I have become a brute. A brute is very much like the animal, right? Meaning the altar is in ruin. So we need to rebuild our altar in this life again. The consequences of this degradation are so many. Among others, no eye for the things of God. That is the person who has been degraded by sin. His spiritual faculty is repressed, restrained, and stifled. You remember, I'm about to close. You remember chapter 15 of the book of Luke about the lost son who has been away spending his life in a frugal way, and he lost everything, and eventually he ended up taking care of giving food to the swine, to feed the swine. Meaning, if you imagine that lost son does not have a sense of sonship anymore, because he left his father's house. No feeling of spiritual dignity anymore. His value systems is very low, even as low as the, I don't know if swine has any value. I don't think animals have values. As our values, I mean. But again, Jesus Christ, redemption on the cross, he has reinstated us to our original position. We are that lost sons. In our sane moment, if we say, I will go back to my father. And if you say that today, if you think in one way or another, you feel that you are lost, you are far away from home, far away from God's embrace and love, say today, I'll arise and go back to my father. He's waiting for you. It's waiting for us. And in closing, let me say about this horn, and I'll close in 2 minutes. My horn is being lifted up. It connotes the idea of strength and courage and power and glory and victory over all our enemies. Your horn is being lifted up, not because of your own merit, but because God loves you as his people. May God bless you real good. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and glorify you. Amen.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Learn about giving thanks and how important it is to give thanks. And that's what drives our worship. It drives our lives, that we learn to live grateful lives. God has been in his place today. He's here right now because he lives in us. And there's some of us here today, you know, he's speaking to you. And I like what Paul Ann said. All you got to do is say, you know, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the Father. I want to come back to you. I know we're kind of getting over here, so we're not going to go on much further. I'm just going to ask the musicians to come forward. We're going to sing that song, Amazing Grace, if you can find it, Chad. The disciples, the chains came off when they were in prison, right? My chains fell off. I've been set free. I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward again. Here we go. Why don't we stand? We're going to end with this song. Put your hands together. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And if you're looking for... Sorry? Okay. Good. If you're needing some prayer... Oh, we don't have time for that. Let's sing it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
One more time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. That's His, that word means His smiling face. The Lord lift up His smiling face upon you. God give you His peace. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit today. Amen.